Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
A very good evening. You're listening to the Watford Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Jake Watson with you up until 10 p.m. this evening. It's getting to that stage of the season, isn't it? Not long left. We've got a full summer off. Have we achieved everything we wanted to achieve this season for Watford? I think we can certainly say that has been done. Joined as ever by Andy and Matt in the studio. A very good evening, chaps. How are we?
We're okay.
Yeah.
It was sort of end of season
is,
blues. Well, just going back onto your opening sentence, have we achieved everything we want?
Not
no,
yet.
Not yet. We've still got 2 weeks left of our season, yeah. Jake.
No, I know, but that's what is that what it's all about now?
I think, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Did you get that air of kind of, not on the beach, but just there wasn't quite the necessity to really go for it today?
Yeah, certainly not on the beach. I think if anyone uses that phrase, that's incredibly harsh to the display that we saw, because I think, sure, we'll go into more depth in just a second, but first half display, we were excellent. And so I tweeted at half time, it didn't look like a display that suggested Watford had nothing left to play for in the league. But obviously after results, after Wolves' result on Saturday, where they've sort of, seventh place is now obviously impossible. The first sort of few minutes after kickoff today, it was all just with the famous Watford FC and we're going to Wembley chant. So that's, you know, that's where the mindset is of all of pretty much every single Watford fan. And, you know, fair enough, it's the first time it's happened in 35 years, so it's to be expected. But still need to finish in the top half, because West Ham winning yesterday, there's still obviously it's us v them now for the past few weeks. We've been talking about that battle for seventh, now it's the battle for tenth.
Yeah.
Oh yes. So they, you know, it would be a disappointment if Watford don't finish in the top half. You know, before the season, we were chatting about, you know, our ambitions for this season. It was always top half finish. We would have been happy with. So, and that's that should be achievable on next week's. But yeah, definitely, certainly not on the beach, but definitely, you know, it's all about May the 18th now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely. So it's three games without a win. I mean, Matt, is it really important this season doesn't, you know, tail off, particularly with the need to being kind of ready and up for that FA Cup final and in form, ideally?
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's so important, isn't it, for us to go in with a sense of positivity. It's going to be hard enough as it is to beat Manchester City. And we have to go in and give ourselves a platform. And obviously, what better way to do that than going off the back of a win? And also, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but in terms of the starting lineup next week, I think people are playing for FA Cup final places. So, yeah. You know, Andy was absolutely right. We don't want to finish outside the top 10 psychologically. That would be a huge down on what's been a fantastic season. So I said yesterday on the comedy kickoff, I said, you know, the narrative has to be about whatever happens this season, the positivity that we have had and the season we've had. We've hit 50 points, irrespective of whether we get it or not. I think, you know, win the FA Cup or whatever, it's been a great season. So we just need to finish as strongly as we can. It's just off the back of today, it's frustrating that our performances against the top six haven't been rewarded with points.
Yeah, well, I was just saying actually to the guys before I came on that we've sat here on a number of occasions when you've played one of the big six, and each time I feel like we've been sat here saying that Watford played really well. Now, I'm not aware of the stats, I'm not sure if you two do, but how many times have you actually picked up anything from those games?
So we've only gained 3 points out of the 12 games, and that was a win against Spurs in the third game of the season.
Yeah, okay.
And we've probably sat here for certainly Arsenal at home, yeah. Arsenal away.
Yeah. Yeah.
City away as well.
City away, arguably. Spurs away, United away, even United at home.
That was a good game.
The only team that have really sort of outplayed us have been Liverpool.
Yeah.
And that's been it. Otherwise, Watford have been competitive. We've pushed these sides to right to the end, and we've not given up. But we've got nothing. We've only got the 3 points to show for it. So, has been really disappointing. And you look at a team like Wolves, who have been able to translate that good performance into points. But then on the flip side, they're, you know, maybe a bit complacent when they come up against sides down the bottom end of the table. Whereas Watford, it's sort of vice versa. So. We're getting closer to that balance. I think next season, if we had a good transfer window, maybe we can translate some of those.
Do you think you should persevere then with the way that you've approached these games against the top six? Or is there not an argument to say, you know, like a Leicester and a Wolves, who, I mean, I think their squad's probably better suited for the counter-attack against those sides, but you know, other examples of your Burnleys and your Newcastles that, you know, they do have a very clear, and even Crystal Palace as well, a clear and obvious way of when they go to these top six of being a little bit more reserved, shall we say. And they've had better success of picking up points because they accept they're not on the same level as those football clubs. Now, while you're further ahead than those two teams, you're not at the same level as them. So do you not think whilst Watford progress as a football club, which clearly they are doing, in the meantime, you should maybe, you know, be a little bit more reserved against those games? You may have a better chance of picking up points.
For this season, I would certainly say no, because I don't think Watford can do sitting in and defending. We've seen today, you know, we've still got huge defensive frailties, and I think the defence is somewhere we need a bit of investment in the summer. I don't think we can ever afford to do that, because even against the sides who aren't in the big six, if, you know, we're just a goal up and we start dropping deep and sitting back and we allow pressure to come on, then teams generally or sometimes find a way through. And I don't think that's not how we play. I don't think that's in Javi's mindset either. I don't know if you agree, Matt, but I think Javi's quite ambitious. We want to play our way. We want to, just because we're coming up against Man City, just because we're coming up against Liverpool, doesn't mean why should we change the way we play? We play the way we do because we believe we can win these games.
Yeah, there isn't that fear factor this season, quite noticeably different to some of our previous Premier League seasons. We don't really seem to be fazed by playing these top sides. The frustrating thing for us is obviously we're talking about a tale of defensive mistakes in recent weeks and a tale of our usual kind of clinical nature in front of goal kind of disappearing a little bit. And it's coincided with some big absentees. Obviously, Capu wasn't playing today. Deeney obviously had that suspension. So I think we've, you know, as Andy was saying, we're not built to sit, and we've said it so many times on the show, we must sound like a broken record, but we've had a go and we've been positive, and I think that's the way you've got to approach it. Some teams like Burnley are perhaps better suited to sitting in, but I think there's a sense of futility about it, because if you sit in forever and try and hit them on the break, maybe with one or two chances or capitalise a mistake, their superior quality will wear you down. So sometimes you just got to hit them hard and hit them early and hope that you can get in front and play with a lead. And if you play with a lead, then obviously it becomes a much easier prospect for you.
Yeah, no, it does feel that sometimes, you know, you delay the inevitable somewhat, and it's all about keeping the scoreline down, which is a horrible way to go into a game, isn't it? But, you know, I thought it was an interesting one, because the amount of times we've sat here and thought, well, how well have Watford played? But you, as you mentioned, Andy, you picked up very few points. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss the game today, but also later on we'll look ahead to the West Ham game and also the end of season awards. We'll have that discussion in the studio, who the guys have picked, and also Watford fans at home or in the car or whatever you're doing this evening, get in touch. Who are your player of the year, your favourite player, best performance and goal of the season? At Love Sport Radio is the Twitter handle, or you can give us a call, 0208 7020 558.
Love Sport.
Yeah, welcome back. It is the Watford Fan Show. So let's talk about Chelsea today. A 3-0 defeat. Chaps, was that the story of the game? Was it a dominant Chelsea performance?
Well, no, like we've just obviously just been saying, the Watford, you know, come into these games against the big six and we put in a performance, and that was the case in the first half. Watford were excellent. If it wasn't for a fantastic save from Kepa keeping out a Deeney header, we could have been going into the break at 1-0 up, and I don't think Chelsea actually had a shot on target in the first half. So it was a really good display, but Matt and I were chatting at half time, and unfortunately this is the mindset that we have to get out of Watford dominate these games. We go in at half time and the same comment is just chucked around the stands. We know what's going to happen next. And sadly, that was the case. You know, Chelsea come out and within the space of, I think it was by the 51st minute, we were two goals down from two set pieces, two headers. Really disappointing way to sort of go behind. And suddenly, for all our dominance, for all our attacking prowess, we suddenly find ourselves chasing the game.
Yeah, and it's a kind of similar tale in some ways to the game at Manchester City. I know it was different circumstances with a controversial decision, but one goal goes in and suddenly, you know, you find yourself in a hole very, very quickly. And I think that's really frustrating. Obviously, Chelsea coming off the back of a Europa League game, not a massively long trip to Frankfurt, but still, that's a factor. I thought, you know, I was very encouraged by what Watford were doing in that first half. You just need that goal. You just need to give yourself that platform, that impetus. Chelsea were always, I think, going to improve. I don't think we perhaps saw the best of Chelsea in that first half, that's fair to say, but I think that's a lot down to how the way Watford played. So yeah. Frustrating, I think, is probably the emotion there. You know, proud of the first half performance, but we don't really want to be talking about good performances that don't deliver results. I think it's become a common theme for us this year, and hopefully that's something, if you're going to put a positive spin on it, that we can take into next season. and then hopefully pick up some more points against the top six.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because having done the Chelsea fan shows on a number of occasions, they've been incredibly concerned by their second half performances, to the point that they're saying that they're fairly certain Maurizio Sarri just goes outside for a fag and doesn't actually do a half-time team talk. But obviously they've come out in the second half today and scored three goals. Has it been a theme with Watford? Because I have to say, I've not noticed that in any discussions we've had over the season that your second half performances haven't been good.
Do you have an update of the away league second half performance table?
Leicester won that league in April, so we've stopped updating it.
It's always annoying. Like we always seem to come against teams like Chelsea, who don't turn it on in the second half, or like an Arsenal who haven't scored away from home for X number of games, and we always seem to be that team that allow these clubs to sort of get going and to sort of get the monkey off their shoulder, if you like. But I don't think Watford have a thing. There's certainly not been any correlation between anything that I've noticed this season. I guess the one thing is not taking our chances and being on top and then conceding sort of to the opposition, which I think that's been the frustrating thing. If we're looking at the big six games, like, it happens, obviously. But that's just the difference in quality. That's why they are where they are in the table, because one mistake. There was an incident today where Chelsea backline made a mistake. Deulofeu pounced on it. I think it was 3-2 at the time, and Watford didn't capitalise. And if that was, if we reverse that, if it was Chelsea on the other hand, Eden Hazard is easily going to put that in the back of the net or to set someone up for a tap in. And we don't have that clinical edge, and that's what's setting us apart from becoming that comfortable mid-table Premier League side to challenging for seventh season on season.
Okay, so on the game itself, were you impressed by Chelsea? Because I watched the game against Frankfurt and I watched it again today. I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek has been great in the last few weeks.
Yeah, he has. He stepped it up. I mean, it's something I know Chelsea fans have been particularly vocal about, him and Hudson-Odoi. Hudson-Odoi obviously getting the injury. He had a good loan spell at Palace. I think he's someone who's added goals to his game, particularly in the last few months. And obviously was one of Chelsea's better performers the other night. So it was quite surprising, I think, that he, we're not talking about him a bit more. Certainly in the England conversation last summer in the World Cup, he's somebody who's got bags of ability. And I think we saw that a little bit today. It's good from a Chelsea perspective, and from an England point of view, that Chelsea are beginning to, perhaps with this impending transfer ban, they might have to go down this route a bit more. But obviously not too positive to see him put one in the back of the net.
Yeah, actually, when Kante got injured, my flatmate is a Chelsea fan. He actually texted me and say, obviously he wasn't happy that Kante was injured, but he was glad that Ruben Loftus-Cheek was coming on because he was his preferred starter for the game. And I think Sarri came out after the game and said, yeah, I made a mistake not starting Loftus-Cheek. And he was excellent. I thought we actually kept Hazard pretty quiet for the first half. Kiko was doing a number on him. Hazard was looking for the space down the left. Kiko and Hughes were working well together, weren't really giving it to him. And, we see Hazard pick the ball up and run into little pockets of space, and he can just get a shot away from the edge of the area whenever he pleases. But he wasn't being able to do that in the first half. Second half, however, certainly when the heads drop and Watford start having to chase the game, Hazard suddenly had a lot more space. He was working well with Loftus-Cheek, and whilst Hazard didn't run the show, I think Loftus-Cheek did second half for Chelsea, and he was the one that sort of opened Watford up and gave them the win, I think.
Okay, so defensive issues once again. Any particular culprits?
I tweeted afterwards, like, I love this squad. I love the players, Cathcart and Mariappa and everyone else. It's been an incredible season, and I don't want to sound negative at all, because we, doing this show for the last season, all of us together, it's been an absolute blast. But if we really want to be serious about going for European qualification going forward, I think we need to improve.
You need to look beyond them.
Yeah. Which is sad, because I don't want to say that about someone who's given so much to a club like Mariappa and Cathcart, because they've done so much for Watford fans, both on the pitch and off it as well. They get stuck into what Watford's important about and in the community aspect as well. But I'm afraid it's probably time to move on, and we need to look elsewhere, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's quite a bad indictment of Cabaselli. I think if you're going to be critical about players that have taken a step backwards this season, Cabaselli, someone who hasn't perhaps lived up to expectations, the fact that Mariappa has become a regular starter for us is, I think, a kind of recognition of that. No disrespect to Mariappa, but he was someone who couldn't get in the Palace team, and suddenly he's now being asked to start most of our games. Cathcart, I think, has been fantastic. I think he's still someone who will be, if not a starter, then very close to the first 11 next year. We know we're probably going to lose Britos. Definitely, I think that's something we need to strengthen, that centre-half. We've been crying out for it, probably a centre-half, a winger and a striker, I think, are probably top of the list for Watford fans. And hopefully we can get some reinforcements in, strengthen, because that competition will be good as well for the rest of the squad.
Yeah, and I think it is a fair point because, you know, I look at that Watford squad and there are a number of really good players. You've got some really talented midfielders, as we've discussed on so many occasions. And again, with strikers, I think, again, you probably need another one. But, you know, and I know it's not done on names and it should never be done on that, should it? But if you do go through the starting lineup and you do see Mariappa and Cathcart in there, you do feel that that's somewhere you could easily improve upon.
Yeah, and like you say, it is sort of done on names. Like when the Chelsea team sheet's read out and you hear Eden Hazard is starting, you think, oh, great, Hazard's time. But when you hear, no disrespect to him, like the Huddersfield lineup read out, you don't get that fear, and it's because you don't recognise a lot of the names other than Jonathan Hogg, maybe. And I think a lot of teams sort of maybe feel that when they come up against Watford. They know Troy Deeney, they know Ben Foster, they know Delafeu, Pereira, Capoue, but they're probably a bit sort of about Cathcart and Mariappa. They don't see our backline as, you know, if we come up against Vincent Kompany or Virgil van Dijk, we know it's going to be really, really difficult to score. I don't think when our lineup's announced and they see Cathcart and Mariappa or even Cabaselli, the opposition teams are worrying about not being able to put the ball in the back of the net, which is disappointing, and I don't want to say it.
We've got to be
harsh. It's sort of crunch time in Watford's history almost this summer. You know, are the owners serious about pushing on for Europe season upon season? We'll find out.
No, it is the brutal inevitability of football that it moves on, doesn't it? Two great servants for the football club. But yeah, maybe something to look to improve upon next season. Troy Deeney, of course, his ban was up. Straight back into the starting lineup. Andre Gray scored in both those games, wasn't it, that Deeney was suspended for, but find himself back on the bench. Was that inevitable? Was that fully expected?
I think that was.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I think it's always been Deeney and Delafeu. I think Gray has been that impact sub that we've needed on occasions. We've seen that in the games before Deeney got his red card. So I think, yeah, I think every Watford fan was probably expecting that.
Yeah, I think it's just Deeney gives more than Gray, and that's not a criticism of Gray. I think he's actually been one of Watford's most improved players this season, though he gets a lot of stick for missing a lot of chances, but he has bagged some important goals for us. I think it's just Deeney's physicality. I think Andy mentioned it last week. When Deeney's not in the side, it kind of takes away that kind of physical element, the ability, the aerial ability to win some of those duels that we don't have when we have Gray in the lineup. So, and obviously, do Deeney and Gray work together, you know, in sort of in sync? And obviously Gray and Delafeu seems to be not quite as potent a strike pairing as Deeney and Delafeu.
And Troy was winning everything first half today. Yeah. Like, Louise could not get close to him at all.
I'm looking at, we talk about the lineups and you look at it, Christensen and Louise, very good footballers, but not particularly physical centre-halves. No. And you know, I'm looking at that, it's a game tailor-made for Troy. So did he get the better of them?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly in the first half, yeah. I don't think Louise won a header against Troy in the first half. Troy won some free kicks off him. He was holding the ball up well. In fact, it came to the point whereby the ball would be passed up to Deeney and Louise would just back off just give himself the space for when, if Troy was turning, he would have the chance to sort of block him off and push him out wide. And so Troy had him in his pocket, really, the first half. But again, not taking our chances, a sort of a comeback to all of us whilst we were dominating that final third, getting the ball up there, and it was sticking this time because we had Deeney instead of Gray holding it up. We weren't able to convert that possession.
Okay, right. Taking a break. When we come back, we're going to do these end of season awards. Players, goals, performance, the work. Stay with us.
This is Love Sport.
So it is the end of the season. It is the time of year where we all get dressed up, head to the events, and trophies are handed out to the best players and the best moments of that season. Chaps, have you put your votes in for all the Watford awards?
I certainly have.
I haven't. I'm ashamed to say it,
but you will do.
I will. I will do it, if I still can. Andy was saying it might be.
I think you might have missed it.
Oh, Matt!
That ship has sailed. Apparently.
Oh dear me!
I'm saving it for tonight. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, it was on your to-do
apparently.
List, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, well, obviously, these are the awards that matter, doing it, obviously, on the radio as opposed to casting the vote properly.
Yeah, you could have just lied.
Exactly, yeah.
Andy, what are the awards? Go through them.
So, obviously...
there's a couple of different ones as
well,
isn't
there? There's a couple of different ones. Well, I guess we'll start off with the main event, and that's Player of the Season, the one that's voted for by the supporters. Obviously, there's Player's Player. We're not sure who that's going to go to. I think probably Aurelio Gomez might just get it from all the players if the FA Cup final is his final game. But anyway, Player of the Season, that's the one voted by supporters. We've discussed this previously on the show, and we've sort of whittled it down to three contenders. That was Ben Foster, Etienne Capoue, and a wild card, Jose Holobas. My vote has gone to Etienne Capoue. I think we discussed this after the, which was the game that Ben made another mistake.
Southampton?
No, it was Wolves. It was last week. I've been on holiday, so my memory's all over the shop. It was after that game that I sort of made my decision. And it wasn't based purely on the mistakes in the last couple of games. Just that I've left more games this season thinking, man, Capoue is some player than I have thinking Ben's won us a shed load of points. And Ben's been fantastic, honourable mention, but for me, I think Capoue just swings it.
And obviously Etienne's been with us. I agree with Andy. I think if you're talking about players that make an impact, and obviously he wasn't there in the team today, then Etienne has to get the mention, because he's a player that frustrates Watford fans. You know, you look at him, he's been here for what, 4 years now. Been with us since we first got up to the Premier League, and I said it on a previous show, he scored a bunch of goals under Matsari at the beginning of Matsari's season. We're now talking about a player that's come full circle, that's adding goals to his game, becoming the complete midfielder. But I think now this season we're starting to see what that promise was in the first place. And I just think he's so integral for us. And if we do lose Doucouré, then someone like Capoue is going to be such an important, even more important than perhaps he's been this season.
I think it's really strange, though, with Capoue, because you mentioned 4 years. You know, often a football player may take a season to adapt if they've come from a different league or just to a new club. But it's very rare, isn't it? After 4 seasons, they suddenly become, you know, this superb player.
But I think, because we've seen flashes of it throughout the time that he's been here. And I think from the Rookery End guys always say that Capoue plays well when the sun's out. So through August, September, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
But on the last few seasons, he's been hot and cold. So he started well when he came to the club in 2015. Obviously, as Matt said, started well under Matsari in 16-17. But just throughout the season, you know, if Capoue goes or went missing, Watford didn't really show up in those games. And his form had just sort of fluctuated. But this season, he's been the player that we've been able to rely on consistently to put in that performance. You know, if Doucouré hasn't been at his best, we know Capoue's going to be there and step up. And Capoue has always been that player this season who has stood out. And I don't think we've actually sort of left the game and said Capoue was rubbish today. And that just goes to show you like what a consistent performer and his attitude has been this season.
And again, what's rare is often, or it can be the case anyway, that when a important player leaves, say for instance if Doucouré left, then somebody who's kind of been waiting in the wings then steps up to the plate. But again, that hasn't happened with Capoue. It just feels like everything kind of finally clicked for him, and he's matured as a footballer and found that consistency that we knew ability wise he always had.
Yeah, you don't play for Tottenham if you don't have that kind of natural ability. I think we were linked with Benjamin Stambouli at the same time as Capoue. We thought we might get both. We thought we might get one or the other. We got Capoue, and I don't think there's a Watford fan out there that's disappointed.
I forgot about Stambouli's existence.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah. Spurs fans probably don't want even to be reminded of his existence. But in terms of Etienne, I think he's matured into it's a cliche, isn't it? But a leader, kind of a senior player in that dressing room. And if we're going to lose Aurelio, we're going to need people like Etienne to step up. So he's captained the side on a couple of occasions this season. I think he's up there for interceptions in the league in terms of his ability to, and he's also, I guess he's a two-way player, isn't he? He's a kind of, you know, he's not necessarily a box-to-box in the old kind of form, but he's somebody who can put a tackle in, he can make a pass, he can score a goal. You know, he is the complete midfielder, and I think he's been overshadowed a little bit by Doucouré, and I think hopefully we will get the recognition he deserves with these awards.
Okay, so all in agreement, Etienne Capoue should win that player award. Andy, what are the other ones and kind of contenders we have for them?
So next up is goal of the season. Now,
we've
discussed this. Yeah, we've discussed this at length, and I think you're very impressed, Jake, by the plethora of incredible goals that Watford have scored this season.
Fortunate.
And even the very, very first game, the very first goal we scored this season, Pereira's? Against Pereira's volley against Brighton is a contender. And they should have just, they could have just shut the competition there and then, because that would have been a good enough goal to win goal of the season with that fantastic volley. Ruined slightly by the fact the goalkeeper got a touch to it. I think if that goes in
clean,
then that is goal of the season for me anyway. But it's a fantastic goal montage, and one I think we'll keep looking back on in years to come. But for me, there is only one standout, and it's more... It's a combination of quality and occasion, because...
I was going to say, importance has to play a factor in it,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can score the scrappiest goal of your lifetime, but if it's the goal that gets you promoted or wins a trophy, then that's going to be your goal of the season sort of thing. But this one had importance and quality, and it's got to be Gerard Deulofeu's first goal against Wolves in the FA Cup semi-final. Just for the sheer...
It's fairly good as well.
Just for the sheer audacity of trying something like that, of just being in that position where... The Wolves' defence weren't necessarily doing anything wrong either. They were showing him onto his weaker foot. There was no sort of movement really, no passes available. And he's gone, right, sod it, I'm just going to try this. And the way he's managed to curl the ball up and over whilst he's inside the box as well.
The angle from behind it is pretty good.
It's not like he's been able to run and have some momentum on the ball before. And the ball is stationary, and he's been able to just get it up and over. I mean, Ruddy's not a small keeper.
No.
And he's got it. There's only one place in that goal he can put it, and he's done that, and that's obviously set us on the way to one of the most historic victories in our history.
What was the game? It was a home game, and I think you scored three contenders.
Cardiff.
Dominguez Quinas scored one, which I remember. Again, that was the angle from behind, which I thought was brilliant. Yeah, there was three goals in that one as well that stand out in my memory. But Matt, were you in agreement again with Deulofeu's one? Because you've got a fair few options. What else has goals have gone through your mind when thinking, you know, if you were going to vote, or if you had voted, you would have voted for?
Well, I mean, the Pereira one, I'm surprised by how early that came. And I agree with Andy. Like, you know, if you're talking about goal of the season, I know commentators mention it all the time, don't they? You know, early goal of the season contender. You don't expect it to come in the first game.
No.
It's difficult to look past Deulofeu, isn't it? I think if that hadn't happened, then I think we'll be having a much wider discussion. Mm. But I don't think there's a Watford fan out there that would look past Deulofeu because of what Andy was talking about, the occasion, the importance, the momentum that generated from that moment, almost a jaw drop in the sort of Watford away end. Everyone just couldn't believe what they'd just seen. The backlift as well was incredibly short. I can't look past Gerard.
So let's take out Gerrard's goal. I know that's not the point.
I mean, Dominguez Quina at Reading in the League Cup, because I honestly, if it wasn't for that goal at Wembley, I'd probably say Dominguez, for the sole reason that no one really knew who he was or what he was capable of. We knew that he'd had a good kind of youth upbringing at West Ham, and I think he was at Chelsea before that. He'd been linked with quite high profile moves elsewhere, and then suddenly Watford are getting him on a cut price deal, and we're thinking, what have we got on our hands here? And then he does that.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fantastic strike, which I don't think any of the fans in the stadium that night were anticipating. For me, it would probably be Andre Gray away at Burnley in the second game of the season. Just for the drilled cross from Deeney, met by the volley of Gray on the edge of the box and curling beautifully past Joe Hart in the goal. Hughes scored a fantastic goal that game as well, the sort of 25-yard strike. I mean, we've been spoilt this season, haven't we, for goals? Absolutely spoilt, but... You know, we can take the Gerard Deulofeu goal out of the equation, have that discussion, but there's no point because it's going to win.
Okay, next award.
Next award. It's a new one this season by the club, and it's favourite player. Now, there's no sort of set definition for it.
I like this.
It's different. Yeah, it's good. So whether that means, you know, your, I guess, sort of favourite player to watch from the stand, or favourite player maybe does stuff outside the club, etc. Yeah. I guess there's a couple of different interpretations. For me, I've gone. I know, Matt, you haven't done your votes, but
don't call me out.
I have gone for, and Jake's going to love me for this. I've gone for Aurelio Gomez as my favourite player. Slightly, you know, there's no room for emotion in football, blah blah blah. But I think there is. Aurelio's been that figure in the football club for the last God knows how many seasons now, five or six seasons. He got us promoted. He's helped get us to an FA Cup final, second one in our history. But also the things that he does off the pitch as well, the interaction that he has with supporters. He actually helped open an expansion on the Watford Trust's one of their sites with Rita Taylor recently.
That's a great photo.
And just the way he conducts himself, he makes me proud that he's wearing a Watford shirt. And I think that's why he's my favourite player. On the flip side, my other choice for that would have been Jose Holobas.
Yeah.
Just because he's a moany git. and he's hilarious and I love him.
Yeah.
But I think Aurelio Gomez, if the FA Cup final is going to be his last game, which I think it should be now, I think for me he's got to win that.
Yeah, I'm actually the opposite. I'm going to go for Jose Holobas. But just a quick word on Aurelio. He's also somebody I remember watching for the first time. I think it was beginning of 2014-15. I think it was possibly the Bolton game, one of the very, very early ones in the season, and seeing him throw the ball over halfway and just thinking, what on earth have we got? But I love the fact as well that he was someone who was washed up and he comes to Watford. He's got no ego, no chip on his shoulder. He's just someone who just loves to be loved, almost loves to be appreciated, and it's given back to him in droves by the fans. So I love that about him, his consistency, what he's done for the club, and the humility he's shown to be sort of displaced by Foster. There's no bitterness or nothing. But for Jose Holobas, simply for the fact that this was a guy, I remember watching him AFC Wimbledon when he turned up, and I'm just thinking, this guy just looks like he's got an ego, and I'm not sure, you know, what he's going to offer. I looked at his career record. You should never look at stats, by the way. He'd never really played much anywhere. And I'm thinking, what are we getting here? He's a bit of a maverick, bit of an unknown, bit of an enigma. But he's developed this season into a player that I think is just, you know, oozes quality, oozes class. Even when we're losing games, he's just shrugging around with no intensity.
Well, he had a sort of attitude problem under Kike, didn't he? And Kike left him out of the side.
Ake played a lot, didn't he?
I think this season his attitude has improved immensely. He's even been smiling. He's been photographed smiling, not just once, but several times. But what really frustrates me is we're like one goal down, with 5 minutes left to play, and we get a corner, and there he is, just meandering across to the corner flag. Come on, Jose, put some effort in. But I love him. Yeah. Absolutely love him.
Character, which everyone needs in these football clubs. Great, great stuff. Okay, so favourite player of the year award. I like that. Football clubs hopefully will follow suit and continue to do it.
Who would you give it as a Leicester fan? To a Leicester player?
It's almost like I'd go down the emotional route, like Aurelio, that obviously Shinji Okazaki is leaving this summer, and he's everyone's favourite player, isn't he? Again, you know, that smile and personality. So it's how you want to look at it. You can do it almost like a most improved. It's a nicer way of dressing it up by giving a favourite player, or your own personal favourite player, which may not necessarily be the best player. Or we could do the emotional sense. It's a really interesting award, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, I like it. And say football clubs, I think it's a nice one by Watford there. Need to take a break when we come back. We'll do young player, and also we'll continue then to start to look ahead to the remaining fixtures, which are West Ham in the league and then Man City, of course, in the FA Cup final.
This is Love Sport.
So, Etienne Capoue for player of the year. Favourite player, are we going Holobas or Gomez, or we'll wait and see?
We'll
depends
wait and
what
see
the
that.
Fans yeah. go yeah. with. Goal, yeah. Delafeu in the Cup semi-final. Mm-hmm. On to young player. Let's
young
do
player.
Young player.
So I think for me, there's one standout player this season who's been played out of position for the majority of it, but has done exceptionally well and hasn't got the recognition he's probably quite deserving. That's Will Hughes, I think. You know, we've chatted a lot throughout.
Are we allowed to do Will Hughes as young player?
That's what I was thinking. What's young?
He's still quite young, isn't
24.
He? 24. 24? Wasn't Sterling given young player of the year, even though he's only 21?
I take issue with the young player. When do they stop becoming young? When are they not a youngster anymore?
I'm only 26. I definitely don't.
You're still
young.
A youngster?
Yeah, I'm still young. Yeah. Under 30.
You still play
young.
On the wing.
I've got my best years ahead of me, and I'm older than 26, but I'm not eligible to win the Young Player of the Year award. It is an interesting one, though, because he has played, like Will Hughes, nearly 250 games as a professional. Now, we know he broke through at Derby incredibly young. I think the young player should be 22. Now, I know that the rules are that he is eligible to win it under the PFA awards to be the Young Player of the Year. Just very quickly, I thought it was an interesting debate because it did flare up again with the whole Raheem Sterling thing. Again, Raheem has played like nearly 300 games, 50-odd England caps. You know, you can't be a young player anymore. I don't think you should be eligible to be able to win the young player and the player. I think as well, if you've been in the Premier League for a number of years, you should then also become ineligible as well. It should be open to someone under the age of 22 or someone who's only played 2 years of Premier League football.
Oh man, that becomes confusing.
No, because you could get someone who breaks through at 15, 16 and then be a professional footballer for 6, 7 years and still be eligible to win the award.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I don't think that's right. I think it should be purely for young footballers who, you know, are not an experienced Premier League footballer.
I agree. There should be. I mean, 23 isn't young, yeah. Is it?
I'm 23. Am I not young?
Well, you tell me, mate. You tell me.
I feel old.
As young as you feel, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait until you hit 26, mate. God.
It's only downhill from there.
It's horrendous. Tell me about it. But if we're going by the rules that have been set out in front of us, I Will Hughes, but just because he's been that regular starter.
But there is only really Watford. Will Hughes, isn't there?
There is. Yeah, Watford doesn't have that sort of young squad or someone, a youngster who's
Isaac
come on.
Success is probably the only other.
Or Keane, perhaps, with the cameos he's made.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not enough, is it?
Keane Panaranda, who played against Woking in Newcastle.
Remember that game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Welcome to English football, yeah. I think with Keane, it's just whether or not, you know, you talked about Hughes playing too much to be eligible, Keane playing perhaps too little. He's made cameo appearances, scored a couple of really, really good goals. But whether or not he's in the discussion, I'm sure, but...
But yeah, no, I agree, but I don't think he's played enough games. I think for someone like Will, who does qualify technically for Young Player of the Year, and you're giving it to a guy who's, if you give it to Keane, to a player who's only played a handful of games, like you can probably count on two hands the games that he's played. Yes, he's scored some absolute bangers, but so is Will. And Will's been playing out of position for the entire season. And I just think the way he's adapted, the way he's made that step up from Championship to Premier League, it's a difficult jump to make. It's like going from maths GCSE to maths A-level. That was difficult. I'm not sure how I would have coped from going Championship to Premier League.
I retired at GCSE.
Yeah, same here.
It was horrendous.
I don't doubt that at all.
But the way he's done, been able to make that step up and not look out of place, I think he deserves a little bit of recognition for that.
Okay, yeah. Limited options, aren't there? But Will Hughes, just by default, because you are still young enough, you can have the award. Favourite performance.
So yeah, they
again, you've got a few.
Yeah, we've certainly got a few. I think Watford always do this sort of team performance of the season, then individual performance. So we'll start off with team.
Yeah.
A few standout contenders. Now, first of all, let's get rid of it straight away. I don't think the Wolves semi-final would arguably count as a team performance of this season, just because for 78 minutes we were two goals down. I don't think it was. As we look at a whole sort of 90, let's call it a 90-minute game, that wasn't our best performance.
Okay, interesting.
Great result.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, obviously. And, you know, Delafeu was the difference. Yeah. So we'll come on to that shortly for individual performance. But in terms of a whole 90-minute performance, I've picked out three. Matt, please do feel free to disagree. First off, I've got Spurs at home. Obviously, the win against Spurs. Wolves away, where we won 2-0. Probably one of the finest sort of midfield displays from Kapu and Doucouré that I've seen. And then I've thrown in the curveball, Manchester United away. But obviously, that ended up in a defeat. But the performance was exceptional. It's obviously not going to count. It's not going to win. Yeah. So for me, I think it would have to be Wolves away on that basis, purely because we were so dominant, and I've not seen us turn up at another Premier League ground to a good Premier League side. I don't think Wolves had lost at home that season at that point. And we completely turned them over and did a job on their place.
No, I remember that game. So, Matt, other than the Spurs game, which you said is on your list, anything different? And got another curveball, like a defeat to throw in?
Yes. the defeat I've got is the Arsenal game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I've never come away thinking from a defeat, particularly against the top six side, and actually been generally quite pleased. It sounds ridiculous because we lost the game. But when the news of the red card came through, I was actually working here, so I wasn't actually at the game. I thought, that's it. You know, I was saying to producer David, actually, that, you know, he's an Arsenal fan, and I said, this could be a 3 or 4 nil game, because, you know, we're in such an early moment in the game to lose your captain, and to such a silly red card as well. It could really throw the game, but we were actually arguably the better side with 10 men. And we deserve something from the game. And it's just a shame, because it's come through this kind of period where we had the Southampton game, and we've obviously had the Wolves game, where we're talking about bad results. But in terms of performances, that's my curveball, because obviously you don't like to lose games. But if you're going to lose like that, because we were absolutely fantastic. The other game is probably the 5-1 away at Cardiff.
Yep.
I remember going in, I think we were talking about it before the game. We said it's going to be a tough one, because obviously they're battling for their lives. And, you know, five goals away from home, controlling it for much of it, playing some fantastic stuff. Yes, it's Cardiff, but Cardiff away is a tough tough proposition. So for us to play them off the park and get one of our most convincing performances of the season, and in terms of goals as well, we're talking about clinical performances. Mm. That really was the pinnacle of our season in terms of that.
That was certainly one of the best counter-attacking displays I've seen from Watford in many seasons, which links us on nicely to individual performance of the season. Because one of the contenders I have for that is Gerard Deulofeu in that Cardiff game, obviously for his hat-trick. Other contenders I've got for that are, if I can read my incredibly disgusting handwriting.
It's not great.
It is awful, mate. Absolutely awful. So I've got Jose Holobas against Wolves in the FA Cup semi-final. I thought he was fantastic. I've got Etienne Capoue against Arsenal at home, which you mentioned. But for me, I think it would have to go to Ben Foster against Brighton, because the number of saves and some of the saves he made on that day were outstanding, and certainly won us.
That the away game?
The away game, yeah. It was 0-0, and that's all thanks to Ben.
Where he did that crazy save with his legs?
Yes.
No, I do remember. Yeah. He did have an outstanding game that day.
He was
one of the most unorthodox saves of all time. Exactly. It was a very good one.
As long as it doesn't cross the line, it counts as a save. He was phenomenal that day. And Etienne Capoue against Arsenal, a very, very close second, I think, just because, like you said, Matt, he didn't... Watford weren't allowed to be dominated by a side with a one-man advantage, and Capoue could have taken on the whole Arsenal team himself. He was that good that night. But I think Foster, because on the basis that we lost the game against Arsenal, I think Foster, on the basis that he won us points that day and kept us in the game, and to have the season that he's had and not get any sort of recognition at the end of it, I think would be a little bit harsh as well.
No, good shout. Matt?
Deeney against Tottenham. You know, I know you mentioned the Tottenham game back in September. I think it was Davinson Sanchez gets absolutely bullied by him. And that really was the catalyst. I know Deeney scored and then Cathcart got the winner. But Deeney's physicality, being able to bully a top four side, I never thought I'd see that from a Watford team. And then obviously at that point, it sent us into the top four. First four games, we won them all. And I think Deeney was pivotal in that Spurs game to the turnaround. I mean, I know Doucouré scored an own goal, I believe, in that game. We were very, very good against Spurs. And I think Deeney, as so often does, really, symbolise that kind of performance. And actually, if you're talking about most improved players, Deeney last season to this season is a completely different player. Yeah. You know, in terms of, there was a lot of Watford fans who thought he might be finished. You know, five or six goals. He was a little bit overweight. He had a few red cards last season. I think the Spurs game was almost not redemption, because I think it's too strong a word, but set him up for what has been a fantastic season.
Okay, top stuff. And does that conclude this evening's award ceremony?
Yes. I'd like to thank my mum, my dad. Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. Right, taking a break when we come back, we're going to look ahead to West Ham and Man City.
Love sport.
So, get back off the beach, flip-flops, swapped for football boots. Look, I'm kidding. I know you weren't really. Let's look ahead to
the beach.
To West Ham. It's now, as you mentioned earlier, almost a battle to be in the top half. You know, they're there 11th. They're just 1 point behind you. They're in decent form. They're finishing the season kind of fairly well. And you are not at the moment. Let's be completely honest with the way it is. It's a home game as well. You've not, on the last few home games, what is it, Southampton and Wolves, it'd be good to get out there and put on a performance, win it ahead of that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
The big one.
And it's kind of, there's sort of two ways you can look at it. It's either going to be great preparation for the final.
Yeah.
Or we're going to go the other way and rest players for the final. I don't think Javi's one to rest players for a final that's in a week's time.
It's the players, though, isn't it? In the back of their mind.
In the back of their mind.
Just imagine if someone picks up an injury in that game and then they're out.
We'd be terrified. If Capoue was injured today, I don't think he'll be risked at all, even if he's fit for West Ham, possibly. You know, Doucouré gets injured, Deeney gets another, or gets an injury.
Or a red card.
I was about to say red card, but I don't think red cards carry over into the FA Cup.
I don't know, but yeah.
I don't think they do.
It'd be harsh if it did.
It'd be very, very harsh, yeah.
Let's not take a chance.
Yeah. Don't elbow someone this time, Troy. Yeah, keep your elbows down. Although he didn't elbow him.
He did. Forearm.
Anyway, we digress. It's difficult, isn't it? It's because it would be such a shame for this season to end with us finishing in the bottom half of the table.
I agree.
With the season that we've had, it's been incredible, and to have come so close to guaranteeing European football and finishing seventh, To then sort of slip back down to 11th on the final day of the season would be a great, great shame. And, you know, there's not much reason to be disappointed so far this season. But if that was the case, then I think we would be leaving the ground feeling a tad disappointed. Whereas if we do finish in the top half and we can sort of reflect and say, right, at the start of the season, you offer me a top half finish and an FA Cup final, I would have bitten your hand off straight away. But only in the context of it, as the season's progressed and we've sort of got so close to seventh, that then a sort of tinge of disappointment has sort of played a part. But if we can solidify a top half finish, it'll be a fantastic achievement.
Matt, what have you made of West Ham then this season? Because as I said, in decent form, unlucky not to beat Leicester. It was a last minute equaliser, wasn't it? The win at Spurs and then a very comfortable win over Southampton yesterday. A fairly patchy side, but they've certainly got good players. A big powerful side as well. That's what I noticed when Leicester played them, how much bigger they were than us. You know, but you're quite a big side.
Yeah, we are. And with West Ham, I think it's there was a lot of excitement when Pellegrini came in and the money they spent. I think I know a couple of West Ham fans and they kind of see this season as almost a building block for something much better. You could look at that haphazard recruitment, Jack Wilshere being a prime example. People like Andy Carroll won't be there next year. They'll be clearing a lot of deadwood out. So I think next season will promise to be a better season for West Ham. And of course, they were in the Europe conversation as well up until a few weeks ago. So they're coming into a bit of form. They're going to be a real tough challenge for us. I look at people like Arnautovic, you know, very close to leaving the club, still a top player in this league. You know, they have quality throughout their side. But, you know, we when we look at the fixture list a few weeks ago, we were saying the running of home games, let's finish strongly. I don't take any sort of chances with West Ham. I know they're going to be a tough side, but, you know, to finish at home is a nice way to go out, and hopefully we can get the 3 points that we'll take into the final.
Absolutely. Like, you see the Arsenal game this afternoon, a 1-1 draw at home to Brighton, and obviously that's kind of dented their hopes of finishing in the top four. That atmosphere after the game where they're doing their lap of appreciation and they've got a result that no one's fancied, it ends it on such a sour note. And we had that after we lost to Huddersfield on the last day of the season. 4-1.
Yeah.
And just when the players go around, a lot of people left the stadium.
No one wants to be there.
And no one wants to be there. But we've still got one game left. And we want that lap of honour to be, you know, such a joyous occasion. Yes, the season's over in the league. Yes, we've arguably not achieved what our goal was in the sort of last month. But, you know, we've got the biggest game of our recent history in the last 35 years coming up on Saturday. We need everyone, all the fans there to make a noise, to be there together and not leave the ground early, see the players off, know that, you know, we're proud of them and what they've achieved this season, regardless of the result. But that's only going to happen should the players get a result. So it sort of goes hand in hand, really.
Before I get predictions for this one, you just mentioned Arsenal there. Petr Cech, Aaron Ramsey saying goodbye today, but also Unai Emery said that Danny Welbeck would be leaving the club. You need a striker. Fancy Welbeck at Vicarage Road?
Yes. We've
you seem unsure.
I'd
have him at Leicester.
I'm a little bit unsure, but we've got some strikers who are doing well out on loan at the moment. Dodi Lukebakio's been banging them in Bundesliga. Yep. Cucho Hernandez has been doing well for Huesca in La Liga. So you could take a punt on him. He will score you a few goals. And I think he'd probably complement Troy Deeney quite well. We don't need a player who is similar to Deeney, so like a Mitrovic sort of character, because him and Deeney just almost the exact same player. Yeah. If Deeney goes, I would have sort of placed Mitrovic as a good replacement.
Like for like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Danny Welbeck, possibly. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, it depends on wages, doesn't it? It's kind of in the similar mould as the Welbeck one. Welbeck as Wilshere. Obviously, is Welbeck. obviously, his injury record's not great either, but this is a guy that was under Roy Hodgson, an integral part of the England side. So, what is he, 28?
Managers like him. Yeah, he's 28.
Yeah,
28, so a candidate for young player of the season.
Good age. and we have history of taking...
He's played less games than Will Hughes in his career.
That's it. We have history of taking former Arsenal players, Almunia and before that, Mark Poom. But they were goalkeepers.
Welbeck in goal. Yeah. And Hector Bellerin.
Yeah, Hector Bellerin. A loan spell that wasn't the most eventful for us. But
Mark Poon.
Yeah, I'd forgotten throwback. That happened as well.
No one knew Mark Poon played for Arsenal. So,
no, yeah. I didn't.
No, I didn't.
It was Derby.
Now, yeah.
It was always Derby. Yeah. Chaps, before we leave, let's get some score predictions then, please, for the West Ham game.
2-0 to the Orns.
2-1 Watford.
Oh, that was really quick. You've still got 30 seconds.
2-0 to the Orns. Deeney and Delafeu to score.
Deeney and Will Hughes. Will Hughes got a shout out today. He's going to score. Arnautovic will get one back though for West Ham and make a nervy finish.
I'm sick of nervy finishes.
Okay.
Sorry. As it's your time, are we good?
You have filled sufficiently.
Excellent.
Perfect. Pleasure as always. It's been Andy and Matt from the Hornets Nest, the Watford Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.